Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Walking with God. I believe that this is a very, very important subject for your life and for mine. The Bible says, the book of Genesis 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a testimony. Enoch walked with God. You see, the reason I'm teaching about this month is because it is my desire that each one of us will start walking with God. Each one of us will start a journey with God. It's the most adventurous, the most blissful, and the most rewarding journey you can ever embark on. A walk with God. That's my wish for everybody listening, for anyone watching, that truly you will start walking with God. Not just walking with men, but walking with God. You're asking, is it possible? It's very possible. God made you in His image and in His likeness. Why? For fellowship. So that He can relate with you. The Bible doesn't say that God made animals in His image. The Bible doesn't say that God made trees in His likeness. But the Bible says God made you in His image and in His likeness. Praise the Lord. The appliances, the electronical appliances that are in your house are made in a certain image and in a certain likeness. That's why some of them relate with each other. Your remote is made in the likeness of your TV. There is something in your remote that connects with the TV. Even though the remote doesn't have a string or a cable that links it to the TV, yet it is controlling the TV. Because there's something in the remote that responds, or there's something in the TV that responds to something that is happening with the remote. And that is the type of relationship, my dear precious people, that God would like to have with you. I believe that there's something in God that resonates with something in me. That when I position myself well, God just has to press a button and I will respond down here. And that is going to become your story in the name of Jesus. That is what a walk with God is all about. I don't know if you've ever held in your hand a remote that doesn't work. You want to change the channel. You want to take down the volume. You are pressing, but the TV is not responding. And it looks like that is how the work of many people with God is. Like, when God is pressing, they don't respond. When God is pushing, God is pressing the volume, that the volume must go down, they are louder. No, as we get into this series, there will be a connection again between you and your God. The connection will be so strong. You see, I want to read the same verse that I've just read now in the New Living Translation. Genesis 5, 23 to 24. The Bible says, Enoch lived 365 years. Walking in close fellowship with God. Close fellowship. Close fellowship. Close fellowship. I hope you realize that the remote works when you are close to the TV. The further you are from the TV, the remote stops working. So there is a need to draw closer. The Bible says in the book of James, draw near. There is, and I'm praying and trusting God that as we go into this, you will learn how to draw closer, and your testimony will become like the testimony of Enoch, a man who walked in close fellowship. Close fellowship. I know there is a fellowship between you and God, but is it close? How close is it? Is it closer? Or is it further? Now imagine if the Bible has said that Enoch walked in a distance relationship with God. How was that going to sound to us today? And you know, it seems like that is how some of us, our relationship with God is. The Bible says Enoch walked in close fellowship with God. And it seems like some people walk in a distance fellowship with God, where God cannot reach to them. And it looks as if he's pressing the remote, but the TV is not responding. The TV is not responding. I just want to ask you this morning, how is your walk with God? How is your walk with God? They see, I was reading from Genesis 5, 23 to 24, NLT, which says that Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. The same verse in the TPT translation says, Enoch and God walk together as intimate friends. Do you see what it means to walk with God? Meaning, Pascal and God walk together as intimate friends. Intimate friends. This is what this series is all about. It's closing in the fellowship. It's bringing intimacy in the friendship. That you and God will become good and intimate friends. You see, any relationship that is distant has a lot of troubles. I'm sure you have heard, or you yourself you've been involved in a distant relationship. Some are in long distance relationship. So how is your walk with God this morning? Is it a close fellowship? Is it a distant fellowship or a long distance fellowship? My prayer for you and myself is that we will be like Enoch. The Bible says Enoch and God walk together. So if you were to see Enoch, you will see God. God is not far. If you were to see God, Enoch is not far. I mean, what type of fellowship is this? Enoch and God walk together. Yeah. See, the Bible says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? So it means that Enoch found a way to agree with God, so that him and God can flow. Are you still here? Now I want to tell you something this morning. I don't know how is your walk with God, but the good news is that Jesus came to this world to restore that walk with God. We lost it in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, and God came to visit man in the cool of the day. And when man heard the voice of God, man went and hid himself behind the trees. When God asked him, "Where are you hiding?" He said, "I heard your voice and I hid myself because I was afraid and I was naked." From that day, the close fellowship, the intimate friendship between us and God was broken through disobedience. So we were no more able to walk with God. You see, I'm trying to tell you that from the very beginning, walking with God was normal. God will come and visit us. God used to come. The Bible says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you will visit him?" So God used to visit us. God used to be with us closely. It was not anything unnatural. It was very natural to have God in the yard. It was very natural to have God in your living room. It was very, very natural for Adam and Eve prior to the fall. But after the fall, everything that was natural became supernatural. Like if you see a little dream about God, you write a book about it. That is what it has become today. Like just a few people seem to be walking with God, and those people are like heroes. Meanwhile, the will of God from the very beginning was that every human being is supposed to have a close walk with Him. And I thank God for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came not to restore the walk with God for pastors, not to restore the walk with God for bishops. Jesus Christ came to restore your walk with God, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. If you want it, you can have it. You can have it. He made a way. In the book of John 14, verse 16, the Bible says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, watch it. No one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus became the bridge back into the walk with God. Because of Jesus, you can go back to a walk with God. You can start walking with God again. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, the Bible says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So you see, what Jesus was doing on the cross, Jesus was bringing us back to God so that we can walk with God again. We can have a fellowship with God again. He brought us back to God. And that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Don't feel, oh no, I don't think I can walk with God. You can. Because Jesus made a way. Actually, Jesus became the way. Hallelujah. And I just want to quickly take you through this, because how do you then start your walk with God? Well, by encountering Jesus. He told you himself, no one can reach the Father except through him. So every walk with God since the fall of man begins with Jesus. Actually, since the second dispensation, where we are now in the grace of God that came through Jesus, for you to walk with God, you cannot walk with God and ignore Jesus. Because you are asking, okay, what about Adam and what about Abraham? That was before. And we can talk about that, how God used to use certain ways so he can walk with man. But since the arrival of his son, everything is through Jesus. So having Jesus is not just having your Lord and your Savior. It is also having your walk with God back. Are you listening to me? So that, how does this start? You have to encounter Jesus first. You need an encounter with Jesus. I know you've been going to church, but you know there must be a day when you actually encounter Jesus. And I can assure you, a genuine encounter with Jesus will never leave you the same person. It means your walk with God will ignite. It will start. It will start. Whether you encounter Jesus under a bridge, whether you encounter Jesus in a taxi, whether you encounter Jesus at a crusade ground, whether you encounter Jesus in a church building, or even in your living room, or in your bedroom, or in your kitchen, wherever you encounter Jesus, a walk with God begins. Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Every walk with God will bring about, you will see that there will be, you will change in what you were doing before you met him. Like whatever you were busy with, you cannot be walking with God and everything is still just the way it was before you started walking with God. Matthew was sitting there minding his own business. Now, his walk with God had not yet begun. But as soon as he received the invitation, follow me, the Bible says he got up as if he was not having a job. As if he was not taking care of something. He left it and started following Jesus. That is what we call it, an encounter. A real encounter changes the person. And until you have a genuine encounter, your walk with God hasn't started. Now, you are then asking me, okay, but if what I have is not an encounter, then what is it? Because I've also been around, I've been in the church. You see, Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, follow it. Do you understand? He said, follow me. A person. A real person. He didn't say, follow it. It is very possible to be following supposedly Jesus, but you are actually not following Jesus. You are following something Jesus has. So you are not in a walk with him. You are in a pursuit to get something. Follow me, not follow it. John 6:25. I want to show you how it's possible to follow Jesus, but you are not following Jesus at all. No. The Bible says, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciple was there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Wow! I mean, these people want Jesus. They are in search of Jesus, supposedly. The Bible says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Like, how did you get here? We were looking for you that side. We couldn't find you. How did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves of bread and you had your fill. Then he tells them, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So here are people that were supposedly looking for Jesus. Who are these guys? The 5,000 men. You remember the story of the 5,000 men he fed just a chapter earlier. After feeding the 5,000 men and they were leftovers, these people say, what a way of having lunch every day for free. So they came the next day and Jesus was nowhere to be found. They said, no, where is Jesus? They got on a boat. Can you believe it? They got on a boat and they started looking for Jesus everywhere. I mean, you would think these are very, very, very devoted members. They are looking for Jesus. They are following Jesus. But Jesus could see past that. He told them, look, you are not looking for me because of me. You are actually here because you ate yesterday and you are hoping to eat again today. So, the question therefore becomes, who are you following? Or what are you following? What are you following? What are you following? Matthew 6:31-32. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. They run after this thing. It's possible to live your whole life running after certain things. In other words, what are you following? So you are following something, and if it is in the hands of Jesus, it will look as if you are following Jesus, but you are actually not following Jesus. You are following something that seems to be in his hands. So when we look at you, we say, hey, no, this guy goes to church, eh? This guy, he loves God. No, but actually, what are you following? Or who are you following? Who are you following? I want you to look deep into your heart. Look deep into your heart and ask yourself this question. Am I following him or am I following it? The same Matthew 6:32 in NLT, it says, these things, meaning the things that the pagans are following, he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And I want to ask you, what are the things that are dominating your thoughts? Because whatever is dominating your thoughts is what you are following, is what you are running after, is what you are pursuing. He said these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mark 3. I'm giving you a few scriptures before I preach to you today. Mark 3, 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. Hallelujah. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. First. That's the first thing. The first thing is, be with me, follow me, walk with me, be around me. That's the first purpose why God calls you. God calls you from the world. God calls you from whatever he calls you from, so that you can be with him. That's where your journey starts. And then he goes on to say, and that he might send them out to preach. You see, the sending out to preach, especially as pastors, that is what we want. We want to go and preach. We want to go and heal. We want to go and do powerful things. And we don't want to be with him. We don't want to be with him. We just want the, you see, it's possible to love ministry more than Jesus. Yes. It's possible to love preaching more than Jesus. Like you love to preach, but you don't love to be with Jesus. It's even possible to love heaven more than God. That you just want to be in heaven, but you have no intention of being in heaven with God. Like you just like the place. You were told that there's gold there. You were told that there's silver there. You were told that there's a lot of nastiness. So you are just in love with that city. You just like that idea of being in that place. But as for being with God in that place, you haven't thought about that one. That's why down here, you don't spend time with him. You just want to be, just like I can say, I want to be in New York. And I want to be in Manhattan. And I want to be in Paris. The Eiffel Tower. And then somebody says, no, I want to be in heaven. It's when I say I want to be in Paris, do you think I want to be in Paris to go and see President Macron? I don't even think about the guy. But he's the president of the country. I have no intention of seeing him. I'm just going to Paris to have my good time and enjoy myself. Some people want to go to heaven just to see the streets, just to see the beautiful building. They have no intention of being with Jesus. They have no intention of even seeing God. That they might be with him. That's the first thing. I must enjoy being with him. So Enoch walked in close fellowship, intimate friendship. He was not with God for something God is giving him. He just enjoyed God. He just enjoyed the presence of God. Like he loved being with God. I mean, how will you feel that somebody only comes to you when he wants something from you? Eh? Like, when they don't have a problem, you will never see them. And that can go on for years. So, if they don't have a problem for 20 years, you will never see them for 20 years. They will never get close to you just for the sake of the friendship, just for the sake of the fact, I want to talk to you. Every prayer is a request. Lord, do this. Every prayer is a missile. Lord, hit this one. Kill this one. Lord, break the neck of the serpent. Lord, like every, and your connection with God, you are taking weapons of mass destruction to use, and you are sending him as an errand boy to do your things. That they might be with him. And that later he must send them out to preach. So, and then, that they may have authority to drive out demons. So you see, all those things are a resulting effect of your time with him. your preaching comes as a result of your being with him. Your casting out demons and you having a spiritual authority comes as a result of you being with him. So if you are not with him, you will not have, your preaching will not be nice, and then you will not have authority over demons. It is your time with him, it is through that fellowship with him, it is through that walk with him that you can work for him. And even the work is not even work for him, it's work with him too. So you walk with him and you also work with him. We never really work for him, because if I'm working for you, I mean, there are people I work for, I've never met them once. When you are working for somebody, you are not, the relationship with you and the person is not fellowship, it's money, it's salary. If you are sending my money, you and I, we don't even need to meet. Let me do what you want, you do what you say you are going to do, and that's it. And that is what you are having in the story of the vineyard, where Jesus talked about a man who went out and found people who were doing nothing. And he says to them, "What are you doing here?" So we're doing, I said, "No, go and work in my vineyard." And they going to work in his vineyard was never connected to they love him, they like him. It was an arrangement, one denary per day. If you are work, you pay me. It was never based on, you know, I like you, I would like to help you, I want to be a part of what you are doing. No, it was that I'm going to work. When I finish working, you pay. And a lot of us are in this work with God under a contract. It's a contract. You do this, then I stay. You don't do this, I find somebody else who can do it. Are you here? Yeah. But the desire of the Father is that you see, when he told Peter, when he told Matthew, "Follow me," did he tell Matthew? Did he say to Matthew, "Matthew, follow me, then I'm going to make you rich"? No. He just said, "Follow me." That's all. Follow me. To the others, he said, "Follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. In fact, I'm going to give you more work." Are you here? So I want to ask you once again, how is your walk with God? How is your walk with God? How is my walk with God? The desire of God and my desire this morning for myself, and I pray that it will be the same for you, is that my walk with God will be a close fellowship, an intimate relationship with him. And I pray for you this morning, whatever is standing on the way of your walk with God, whatever is fighting your closeness to him, that long before you were walking with him nicely, there was a good communion between you and him, all of the sudden now you are too busy, you are too carried away, your relationship with him has turned into something else. I pray that whatever is responsible for your walk with God suffering, may that thing be cursed this morning in the name of Jesus, and may your eyes be open so that you will see what is the cause of your walk with God suffering in the name of Jesus. Quickly this morning, as I close today's message, the cost of walking with God. The cost of walking with God. In other words, what does it take to be able to walk with God? How many of you would like to have a nice walk with God? Like you want to be like Enoch. Enoch, the Bible says that Enoch walked in close fellowship with God. Intimate relationship, intimate friendship with God. How many of you would like to have such a type of walk where, I mean, the Bible says a day came, Enoch woke up, went out, and he never came back. God took him. God said, "No, I enjoy you too much. I cannot leave you down here any more minute. Come, let's go." And the Bible says Enoch never saw death. And he walked with God so closely that he never saw death. What a close, I mean, there's no death in God. And if you are that close to God, God cannot allow you to see death. There's no death in him. And like I said a few weeks ago, that thing that happened to Enoch is going to happen to a lot of us. Amen. The Bible calls it the rapture. Do you know that in the day Jesus Christ comes back to this world, some people will not see death? Like, if you happen to be alive, you will not see death. You will just be translated and you'll go. So that thing that happened to Enoch was like a sign that a day is coming that the people that are close to Jesus, the people that are walking with God, when he returns to take his church, if he finds that they are alive, not dead, those that are dead will have to rise. We call it resurrection. But those that are alive when Jesus comes don't need to resurrect. The Bible says they will change in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. So they will change and they will go up. So they will not die, just like Enoch. So Enoch is our, like Enoch is like the first fruit of people who will go to heaven without dying. And then also you have Elijah. Are you here? But I'm asking you, what does it take to walk that close with God? Hallelujah. Come with me to Matthew 19 from verse 16. The Bible says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You see, you need to understand something. This thing Jesus is about to mention here are what we call the big seven. You understand? There are 10 commandments, but there are some that are, like in South Africa, have the big five. Jesus, this guy asked, which commandment I must keep to go to heaven? And Jesus is going to quickly mention a number of things, and those things are the big seven. You shall not murder. Like, that's number one. You shall not commit adultery. That's number two. You shall not steal. That's number three. How are you doing so far in the... Oh my God. You shall not bear false witness. Don't say things that are not true about somebody. No, hey, lie. Then honor your father and your mother. Do you realize that it's part of the main things that you must never miss? You can miss everything. Don't miss these ones. They say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you count them, there are six. He gave him six. Do you understand? Then the young man said to him, all these that you have just mentioned, I have kept them from my youth. Well done. From my youth, I've been living like this. Don't you think that this is a good young guy? How many young people from their youth that can say from my youth? When even David is saying the sins of my youth. This young man was special. And he is a big message to you today, a young man, that a young person here was able to say, from my youth, I have kept myself. From my youth, I haven't been killing people. How many young people today move around with knives and guns? He said, from my youth, I haven't been having sex. From my youth. Today, we don't even go to talk to you from childhood. You have to now go. You need to not talk about childhood. From my childhood, from youth, you are already an adult. Mercy. Mercy. The young man said, from my youth, I have kept all this. What do I still lack? He wants to get it right. So Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. and come and follow me. Number 7. Yeah, you understand? That's number 7. Go sell all you have. Give the money to the poor. Something will be for you, waiting for you in heaven. Then you come and start walking with me. The Bible says, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What does it cost to walk with God? And am I ready to pay the price? Like it's going to cost, but am I ready? The young man was doing so well until Jesus mentioned something. And when Jesus mentioned that thing, this young man removed his name from the list of those who will walk with God. If his name was supposed to be next to Enoch, an angel came and erased his name, that he will not be in that group of those who will walk with God. Because he felt the cost was too high. He felt the cost was too high. Brothers and sisters, salvation is free. But walking with God, that one is not free. You are saved for free. I'm not talking about your salvation here. You are saved by grace through faith. But your walk with God on earth is not free. It's costly. Actually, salvation is not free. It is free for you. But it costs God his son, and it costs Jesus his dear life. So it is free for us, but it is not free for somebody else. But now equally, walking with God, free. That's why not everybody, you don't read in the Bible that everybody walked with God and then God took them. This is a clear testimony for one person that stood out in the midst of everybody else. Now this must make you understand what kind of price he paid to be that close to God. Now I'm going to show you quickly what it cost. Number one, to walk with God means God becomes more important than anything and anyone. God becomes more important than anything and anyone. Anything else that is challenging God, your walk with him will not be a close walk. Matthew 19, verse 27, Peter answered to him, "We have left everything to follow you. We have left everything to follow you." Then, what then will be for us? Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits at his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or field, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Brothers and sisters, did you hear that list very well? What in that list do you think is meaningless? Like this one I can easily leave for Jesus. Let me repeat the list for you. Listen to the list that the man is mentioning to you and me, that if you have left these things,
Number one,
your house. But Jesus is the one who says that you must leave a house for your children, that you must build a house. But Jesus said you should be able to leave your house
for him.
Your brothers, your sisters, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your fields, that's your business, for his sake.
Are you here?
Walking with God means God becomes more important than anything and anyone.
Hebrews 11 verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Do you know what privilege that was? To be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? That was an honor. It was a high position. Moses was supposed to be the Pharaoh after the death of Pharaoh. Ramses became Pharaoh because Moses left. Moses was the one they were really grooming. But Moses rejected that position, choosing rather, the Bible says, to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sins. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the reward, the Bible says, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. What is Egypt? The world. The world. To walk with God, you have to be ready to forsake Egypt. A lot of us, your walk with God is not flowing because you haven't left Egypt alone. You are still looking for a position in the palace of Pharaoh. You are still trying to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. You are unable to leave. James 4:4 says, adulteress and adulteresses. What is an adulterer? A person that claims to love a person, meanwhile he's busy with somebody else. An adulterer is a man or a woman who is in a marriage, a covenant with one person, yet has started something else with somebody else. That is an adulterer. And James, you know, James is very sharp. So he starts by adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So you see that you cannot walk with God while you are still in Egypt, in the world. That's why Moses left Egypt. He forsook Egypt. He stopped looking for privileges and positions there. This is why a lot of us can't walk with God.
And Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 10:37, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you love your son or your daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. You see, walking with God will mean you have to be at a place where really God is more important than anything and anyone in your life. So Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You must love God. He asked Peter, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more?
Your love is revealed by your passion. Your love is revealed by what makes you happy. And your love is revealed by what you are willing to sacrifice. That's how we know what you love. What you love is revealed by how passionate you are about the thing. It is also revealed by how happy you are when you are in that thing. And then lastly, what are you ready to do for the sake of that thing? That's how we know what you love. Your love is revealed by your passion, your pleasure, and your sacrifice. So the more you love something, the more you are ready to do anything. I mean, when a woman loves a man, or when a man loves a woman, they can go, they can walk for 10 kilometers. It's nothing. The Bible says, Jacob loved Rachel and worked for her 7 years, but those 7 years were like just 7 days. Love, when there is love, there's passion. When there's love, there's sacrifice. God so loved the world, he gave, he sacrificed his son. When you love, you are ready to sacrifice. So you don't tell me you love God, but you are never in church because you are there and there and there and there. You say, all the excuses are a clear proof that your love has gone down. Every time you can start giving excuses, excuses are usually an indication your love is no more. When you stop loving, you start giving excuses. When you stop loving, excuses start coming out. But when you love, excuses are far, like, there's no excuse. You are ready to do anything. You are ready to go through any length when you really love. So when it says, love the Lord your God, I mean, no excuses. No procrastinating. Less talking. Let me get into action. The lack of action is a clear indication that love has reduced. It has reduced. It's no more at the same level. You can't tell me you love this person, but every time you're supposed to see the person, you come up with a story. Every time you're supposed to spend time with the person, you come up with another story. But you don't love the person. You don't love them. Where there is true love, there's passion. Where there is true love, there's joy, enjoyment. Like, I can't wait to be with you. When I'm with you, I'm happy. I'm not bored. You come to church, even to bring you to church, we must drag you like a donkey. Then when you are in the church, you are looking like you've been sucking lemon for the whole year. You are not happy and you can't wait to go to the toilet. Before the service is over, you are out of the church. When it's offering time, you come with coins. But after the church, you go to the spazzer shop, you spend notes. Your love level has gone down. And to walk with God, God must become more important than anything in your life. If God is still competing with this, with that, you see, it's going to affect your walk with him. You will not be that close to him. Number two, to walk with God means certain things must be removed from your life. Certain things must be removed from your life. Exodus 3, verse 4 to 5. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a close look, God called him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here am I. Moses replied, do not come any closer. The Lord warned, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. To walk with God, something will have to be removed. Will you agree that if Moses said, but these sandals are expensive. Me, you know, do you know where I bought these sandals, God? And there are thorns. I mean, there are thorns. What if a snake comes and starts biting me? I can't come there if I don't have my sandals. Oh, sorry. You and I can't go far. For Moses to be able to walk with God the way he did, everything started with remove this. And remove this. And remove this. To walk with God, you have to know certain things have to be removed. They have to be removed. Isaiah 6 verse 1, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Do you agree that Isaiah's relationship with God became better? He could see God because something died. Abraham and God, Genesis 17 verse 11.
you must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. God is about to start a walk with Abraham, but God says to Abraham, take your manhood, cut something out of it. Remove something from your manhood. We call it circumcision. Circumcised. Like, let's circumcision, and it's painful. Do you know that circumcision, especially back in the day, where we didn't have anesthesia. Circumcision was very painful. We need to cut something out of, it's not a strange body. It's you, like it's part of you. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Like circumcision. By the way, are you circumcised? Because you are looking some way. You are looking some way. Are you circumcised? Sisters, one of the things you must add in the list of your requirement, the brother must be circumcised. Why do you think you find 40-year-old men uncircumcised? It's painful. He doesn't want to go through that pain. He's been running away from it all these years. He doesn't want the thing. When they are wailing, they do like this. You must not see anything. So God was saying to Abraham, I want to start a walk with you. But you have to understand something. I need us to cut something. Cut that foreskin from your manhood. Cut it. And you know, even today, we don't focus more on natural circumcision. But the Bible talks about the circumcision of the heart. So something has to be cut out of you for you to be able to walk with God. Are you flowing with me? Number three, to walk with God, it means you must deny yourself. Similar to what I was just talking about now. Like something, you must be willing to let go of something. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, meaning walk with me. If any man will walk with me, let him deny himself. And it's very difficult to deny yourself. It's easy to deny others. But to deny yourself is very difficult. Because what you are denying yourself is something you like. It's something you are enjoying. But you have to say no to yourself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul speaking says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. You see, if you don't train the body to do what it should, the body will do what it shouldn't. So denying yourself is all about training your body to do what it should and also training it not to do what it shouldn't. He says, lest otherwise I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Disqualified from work. From a walk with God. From the presence of God. From being with God. Deny yourself. A lot of us, maybe your walk with God is not so nice. Because you are still granting yourself everything. God has been challenging you to remove this habit. The habit of watching this. The habit of talking like this. The habit of wearing this. The habit of doing this. And maybe you haven't been willing to remove those things from your life. Even now as I'm teaching, what are some of the things that the Lord, the Holy Spirit is constantly telling you, this thing must go. This anger must go. This lust must go. This flirting must go. These lies must go. You can't walk with the truth and you are lying all the time. He says, I am the truth. And you want to walk with the truth, but you want to walk with the truth with lies. This is the cost.
God must become more important. And when God becomes more important, it's not difficult to remove whatever you have to remove, because you see that you want to be with him. But you see, the young rich man, was his riches were more important than Jesus. They were more important. That's why he was ready to lose Jesus and keep his riches. What are you ready to keep and lose Jesus for? What are you ready? Is it a relationship with somebody that you are ready to have a poor walk with God just because of that relationship that you have with this person? Are you ready to lose your walk with God for the sake of your job? I know people today that are not even in the church anymore because of their job. Their job took them away from the presence of God, took them away from the church, took them away from Jesus. They loved their job so much that they were willing to let go of Jesus for the sake of their job. What is it that you can't let go? If Jesus asks for it, you would rather say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I think you can go. I think you can go. I'm okay. What is that one thing that you will not let go, even if it means losing Jesus? Have you thought about it? Like the rich man? Have you thought about it? What is it that if God asks for this one, if God asks for this one, I can let go. If God asks for this one, I can let go. If God asks for this one, God said I mustn't steal, I will not steal. God said I mustn't murder, I will not murder. God said I mustn't commit adultery, I will not commit adultery. But God said, go sell your possession and don't go there. To walk with God, he must become your absolute favorite. Like there's nothing more important than him. In my heart, anything that is more important than God is an idol. If it doesn't come down, it's going to become my God. That's why some believers, like I said earlier, they are not following him, they are following it. There's something they are following, not someone. They are following something. May God help you this morning in the name of Jesus. And may God help all of us. That's why the last point is, to walk with God means you have to fight. You have to fight. If you've heard anything I've said, to walk with God means you have to fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. Let nobody lie to you. To walk with God effectively, you have to constantly experience that contradiction inside of you. This is what God wants, but this is what my flesh wants. This is what God wants, but this is what my friends want. This is what God wants, but this is what my mother wants. This is what God wants, but this is what my boyfriend wants. If you don't have that, there will be a fight. And you have to win this fight. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I fought the good fight. I fought it. He says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. What is a race? It's a walk. Like he was on a trail. He finished. I kept the faith. Isn't it interesting that Christianity is called the faith walk? The faith walk. Isn't it interesting? The same Paul says, we'll walk by faith, not by sight. We'll walk by faith. So faith is a walk. It's a walk. A walk of, you don't see an invisible thing. You are dealing with that reality. God is invisible. You have to fight. As I close, what do you have to fight? Number one, fight to obey God no matter what. Fight to obey God no matter what. You see, for you to walk with God, the fight is going to be, who are you going to obey? For you to walk with God, the fight to walk with God is going to be obeying God or obeying somebody else. So fight to obey God no matter what. Obey God.
stand with God. Every time you obey God, your walk with Him will improve. Every time you disobey God, your walk with Him is going to regress. It's like that. Sometimes you will have to take the heat of man so that you can take the coolness of the Holy Spirit. If you want the coolness of man, you will lose sometimes the Holy Spirit. Are you here?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell you, this is why the power of God is not in churches today. Because people want to stay there, carry all their luggage, carry everything. They don't want to let go of anything. They don't want anything to be cut out, to be cut off. They don't want to fight for anything. So we are there, but He's not there. He's not there. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for a few minutes. Kandoraba shandere makodama shandara mandaraba. Rabra zeze brega doraba gada bagada bada. Shendere masubre kantere fele mandorama kada bragade. Jade brezigadore bogoda bazibre katere fele mandorama gada bagado. Jabra de bezibre de gadu brozite pre katore pele mande. Jabra da da bazibre de bazubre te kapana ko demande ne masubre kante ne mande ne ma. Jabra da bazibre de bazudo brechite pre kato mote ma kene masubre kato panamena. Jande brezita pre kato na mashande ne masubre nte pre kazuka tene pele kato na palamande. Jabra da brazibre te kapona mashande ne masibre katuna makatere pele katura paladema. Jiga de brezunto pre katene fele makoda maja pra kate fele mandora padaba. Jabra da badaba da badaba. So fight to obey God no matter what. That must be your position. To walk with God like Enoch did. God's word must be the last word in my life. God's word must be the last word in my life. Either from the Bible or from the preaching or from a counseling session. Once I know this is what God wants, I don't have to argue again with anybody. So all argument must cease when the will of God is known. As soon as I know the will of God, I must not continue arguing with anybody or with anything. That's how my walk with God will improve. Number two, fight to be led by the Spirit. Fight to be led by the Spirit. For this is a good fight. This is a good fight that will cause you to walk with God. The first good fight, fight to obey God no matter what. Second fight, fight to be led by the Spirit. Not by your feelings. Not by your friends. Not by money. Many people are led by money. How much are they paying? What are the benefits? They are not following the Spirit. They are following the offer. And that's how they walk out of the will of God for their lives. They stop walking with God because they are following money. Number three, fight to be spiritual, not carnal. Spiritual. Spiritual. Number four, fight to walk in love, not hate, bitterness, offense, anger, jealousy. Those things destroy, like you come out of a nice walk with God and you start walking with evil spirits. I hope you understand God is a spirit. When you say walk with God, you are walking with a good spirit. When you are no more walking with a good spirit, which is God, you start walking with evil spirits. The break of the relationship between Adam and Eve and God opened a door for Adam and Eve and the serpent. So it's either I'm walking with God or I'm walking with the serpent. So walking in love is walking with God because God is love. And when I choose to fight all this offense, when I refuse to keep offense in my heart, when I refuse to hate people, not talk to people, when I fight to keep a position of love, chances are I will be walking with God. As to compare to, I'm always prone to fight everybody. I'm always prone to accuse everybody. I'm always ready to fight a bad fight. Number five, fight to work for God. Fight to get in the ministry. Why am I telling you to get in the ministry? Because God is building the church. That is where God is. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to become a fisher of men. You see, he says, follow me and you're going to become fisher because I came to fish for men. So chances of you being with God and walking with him are that you will end up in the ministry because that's where he is. That's where he is. And I'm saying fight because everything is going to fight you for not working for God. You will be fought. But you have to win the war. You have to win the war. You must read the list of the things that Paul had to fight to fulfill his ministry. How many times he was beaten. How many times he found himself in the sea. How many times he was drowned. I mean, he was stoned. He fought to continue till the end. A lot of you are going to continue till the end, serving your God, serving God, no matter what, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you must fight to stay on this journey. Fight. To stay there. To work for God. Maneuver your shift. Do whatever you can do. So that you don't only work for Pharaoh. Fight it. Why must you fight to work for God? Like I'm saying, that's where he is. I will build my church. I'm building the church. If God is building the church, I mean God is where the church is being built. And if you are walking with God, you will work with God too, where he's building. Do you understand that simple equation? Number six, fight to associate yourself with great men of God. Fight. Why? Usually, you see, your association determines your destination. If great men of God are walking with God, and you associate yourself with them, I hope you understand that. By doing that, before you know, you too start walking with God. A lot of great men of God have a deep fellowship with God. They have built it for years. They are close to him. And if you are close to them, you'll be close to the God they are close to. You'll be close to the God they are close to. As to compare to, you are always with unbelievers. You are always with people who don't love God. You are always with people who don't fear God. You are always with people who are not serving God. How will you walk with God when you are with people who don't walk with him? It can't work. I think it's easier to walk with God when you are associating with people who are walking with him. So get close to them through their tapes. Get close to them through their books. Get close to them through their videos. Get close to these men of God and you will get close to God. Are you getting me? Yes. Number seven, fight to overcome lust. Fight to overcome lust. Lust is one of the things that takes people away from God. Fight that fight. You see, what I'm trying to do this morning, I'm showing you a better reason to fight. Do you understand? You see, if you're just fighting lust because you don't want to fall into sin, chances are one day you might end up there, God forbid. But if you are fighting lust because you want to walk with God, you see, that's a better reason. Like, I don't want to do this because I want to do this. I'm fighting lust because lust will cause me to not be close to God. So what do I want? I want to be close to God. I want to walk with God. And lust is a problem. So fight it by finding the right beloved. Fight lust
by finding the right beloved. The beloved you find will either help you walk with God or work with Satan. No, you must understand, the beloved of Adam was 100% responsible for Adam not walking with God anymore. Fight to find the right beloved. Fight to find the right beloved. Many believers today cannot walk with God because of their beloved. Because of the beloved, I cannot walk with God the way I should walk with God. My walk with God is greatly affected by who is my life partner. If you don't know now, you know, go and ask Adam. Go and ask him what happened to him. Find the right beloved. And the right beloved is the beloved whose heart has been circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Her heart is circumcised. She loves God for herself. Long before you come, she's already loving God by herself. But many suitors are always looking at the hip and the thighs. They are not looking at the heart. Meanwhile, God is telling you, check the heart. God says, me, I check the heart. He said, no. Me, I like the hips and the thighs. He said, no. Okay. I know you like the hips and the thighs, but check the heart also. No. What is the heart? I don't see the heart. I don't have x-ray. Me, I like the hip and the thighs. I said, okay. I continue. Before you realize, you are on your way to Ngelemaduga. The beloved has brought a detour. You know what is a detour? You are going like this. The detour has gone this way. Now you are going behind a mountain somewhere there. May God help us.
Amen.
9. Fight to prosper. Amen. Fight to prosper. You see, you might not understand how prosperity affects your walk with God. People that have prospered can serve God freely. When you haven't prospered, you are running. No time to pray. No time to fast. You are working in the restaurant. How can you fast? You are serving breakfast. How can you fast? They are saying break the fast. Break the fast. You are saying, no, me, I'm fast. No, break the fast. Oh, how can you fast when people are breaking their fast? Are you here? You see, that's why you need to prosper. Your prosperity will affect your spirituality. It will. But prosperity doesn't come easily. That's why I'm saying fight. Like, to walk with God, you must understand that fighting to prosper is part of you being able to walk with God easily. Fighting to build a house, fighting to finish your house, fighting to have your car, fighting to have a number of things on ground is so that when you are serving God, it's stress-free. It's stress-free. A lot of us can never serve and walk with God effectively because you are forever fighting to meet ends meet. No time to pray. No time to seek God. You can't go on a retreat from where? They call you from that. Come back here. Wait. Come back here. Retreat. Retreat from where? Oh. May you prosper in the name of Jesus. May you prosper in the name of Jesus. Shando namakada bragada bagada badaba. Prosper. It's important. It's very important. Prosperity doesn't mean money. Prosperity means all your needs are met. You can have money and you don't have health.
you are not prosperous. You can have money, you don't have peace, you are not prosperous. When I mean prosperity, I didn't say fight to have a lot of money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. I said fight to prosper. Prosperity means your needs are met so you can serve God without problems. Your needs are met. And I'm saying that thing doesn't happen easily. You have to fight. Oh, you have to fight for the land. Then you have to fight to build on that land. And you have to fight to finish building. It's a fight. Because Satan understands once you finish building the house, you will have peace. And that peace will cause you to pray better. He doesn't want that.
I hope you are hearing me.
10. Fight the negative aspect of your temperament. The negative aspect of your temperament. If you are a choleric, you must know the negative aspect is that you get angry easily. You usually don't pray. You just want to go and start doing things. You are just out there trying to do everything with your own strength. You need to know that that is your problem. You are into activity. And sometimes you are into activity, even if it is costing your family, it is costing your friends, it can cost everybody. As long as you are active, you are happy. Fight that negative aspect of your temperament. Because it will take friends away from you. A choleric will not pray, but he will want to go and serve God. I will say, no. I know, I already know what I'm going to preach, so let me go and preach. So your walk with God as a choleric can be affected by the fact that, first of all, you get angry easily. And anger chases the presence of God. When you get angry, you start shouting at your members. You shout at everybody. People, the presence of God goes. So your walk with God is being affected by the negative aspect of your temperament. Fight those negative aspects as a choleric. When you are a sanguine are naturally unspiritual. Unspiritual. Most sanguines are very unspiritual. Yeah, you must know that as a sanguine, you don't like prayer. As a sanguine, you don't like fasting. As a sanguine, you don't like, you know, like being there for a long time. You like quick, and I must go. And that is going to affect your closeness with God because you might not be very deep. As a sanguine. Very disorganized. You are praying, but at the same time, you are typing an email. At the same time, you are answering the WhatsApps. That is going to affect your work with God. You promise God that you will fast tomorrow, then tomorrow you postpone to next week because you can never keep your word. As a melancholic, you must know that your thoughts can constantly be antagonistic to the presence of God because your thoughts will keep saying, God hates you. God is not happy with you. God feels that you've done something bad. God is angry with you. God is not okay with you. You will constantly feel condemnation as a melancholic. You will constantly feel you are not good enough. And if you don't find that negative aspect of your temperament, it will affect your walk with God. You will disqualify yourself. You will always do very little because you don't have confidence. Are you here? As a phlegmatic, settle, quiet stubbornness, slowness, laziness, procrastination. That's a phlegmatic. God, the Holy Ghost will keep pounding on something and he will keep postponing it, but he's actually not wanting to do it. He's stubborn, but in a nice way. Stubborn. Like what is actually going on? Like he's stubborn. But he's different from a choleric that is outburst and all of that. He's just quiet and nice, smiling while he's saying in his heart, I'll never do it. I will never do it. I never do it. You are clear. I never do it. You can shout all you want. I'll never do it. But you see, I'm still happy. Yeah. Stubborn. Slow.
God will keep waking him up. The alarm keep going off. He keep switching it off. I do it just now. I wake up and say, that affects your walk with God. May you be delivered this morning. Every negative aspect of your temperament. Why don't you raise your voice and start praying, Lord, every negative aspect of my temperament, in the name of Jesus, may I be delivered from it now. Open your mouth and start praying this prayer. Open your mouth and start praying this prayer. From the bottom of your heart. Every negative aspect of my temperament. Anything. We spoke about walking with God. What are the things God is asking you to let go of? Father, give me strength. Father, give me strength to let go of this. To let go of this. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Mashang denemo. Mashang denemo. Manche manemo. Sapena meno. Manchi melame. Asoprekena. Shaperadena. Zakontonema. Enchi melena. Sepeledemi. Jesus, we want to walk with you. We want to follow you, Lord. Deliver us this morning. Every negative aspect of our temperament, of our character. Come and raise your voice to the heavens. Let God help you this morning. Marikelema sobre katere mandere mandere mandere. Shandene masume katepene katona felemane. Majembre de kasupre katona felemane ne manda. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have given thanks. Father, may your power descend this morning. Father, may your grace descend this morning. Anyone that has been touched by this word, may the power of the word deliver them from anything that is fighting their walk with you. In the name of Jesus. Father, whatever we have to let go, give us the grace to let go of it. Whatever must be removed, give us grace to let go of it. Father, anything in our temperament that we must fight, help us fight the fight that will bring us in a good walk with you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your grace, for your help. In Jesus' precious name. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this message, every walk with God begins with an encounter with Jesus. He said, follow me. Are you ready to follow Jesus this morning? Are you ready to start your walk with him? He said, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want to start my walk with God today. At the count of three, raise your right hand so I can pray with you. 1, 2, 3. God bless you. Now, repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.